My talk this afternoon is based on both Ezekiel 22 and Ezekiel chapter 16. But I feel that Ezekiel chapter 16 encompasses both 22 and 16. So if you feel like it, I would suggest you turn to Ezekiel 16 as we refer to that chapter as we go through this exhortation. Once again, we're called to look upon Yahweh's displeasure with his chosen people. And he speaks to them through many prophets. And this weekend, we're called to look upon the words of the prophet Ezekiel. Our brothers before me have expounded on the cherubim and the significance of the cherubim. Our brother Fred this morning pointed out the beginning of Yahweh's displeasure with his people. In this 16th and 22nd chapter, Yahweh brings a parable through the prophet to tell of how he feels about his people. He's about to send his wrath upon them. And now he's about to show them that they're going to be punished. He does make them understand how he feels and how much displeasure their actions bring him. Compared in our own lives, our own children, before we punish them, we make sure we let them know what they did wrong and what their negative actions will result in. It also teaches us of how our actions will affect us and the consequences that can result from our actions that is unscriptural. Israel was made a great kingdom. She possessed things that other nations envied in this time period. She enjoyed the most comfortable of lifestyles. But because of the sins that she has committed, and because she turned to the evils of her past, she was forced to become a vagabond and a byword, as the psalmist points out to us. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. And with this in mind, we see the punishments that Yahweh is about to bring upon them and how he feels. As he opens Ezekiel chapter 16, he says, "And again the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Put in their minds what they're doing." He goes on, "Your birth was from an ungodly people, was from the land of Canaan. Their father was and thy father an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite." He reminds them how they were like a lost child. "You were not treated lovingly as a child normally does," he points out. "You were born like a wild animal," verse 5 elaborates. "No one took pity on you, no one had mercy on you. You were cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy persons. You were an abhorrence." That's where the root word of loathing came from, or goel in the Hebrew. What does this tell us? It tells us we were born like savages, that they were born like savages, no divine love or compassion, left in the world to just about anyone. That's the condition that we were born in when we come into this world of sin. Her nature is not one of love and compassion. It is of one of selfishness, egotism. We know the common phrase, "the strongest will survive." How can love and compassion stem from such a sinful and evil nature? It cannot. So Yahweh sees them polluted in their own blood in the first six verses. And he comes and he has compassion on them. And he says to them, "Arise." And he gives them life. "Lazarus, come forth." The words of Christ that reminds us. "Come ye out of the darkness of sin." These are things that Yahweh has said unto his people. Multiply as the bud of the field, verse 7. Beauty is now upon you. The beauty of holiness is in you. Yahweh's word is now upon you. Ye are dwelling in light. He sees them lovely, positive, and bright. And spread my skirt, or as the Hebrew word, or garment. I spread my skirt or garment over thee to cover thy nakedness, to cover the nakedness of sin. Ye are now lovely to my eyes, Yahweh says. Then he follows with the covenant, as he says in verse 8. And I entered into a covenant with thee, saith Adonai Yahweh, and thou becamest mine. Ye are God's firstborn. The parable continues, and we see a parallel of baptism unfolding through the prophet. I wash thee with water. Yea, though I wash thy blood away from thee. You are baptized with water, not just a sprinkle. But it shows the parallel of a baptism, but a thorough washing away of the sinful past. What an encouraging message to us. We are born in sin, left to the loathing of the people around us, and Yahweh sees and knows us, takes us and gives us newness of life. By our confessions, we are baptized by the washing of water. And as the words go on, and the words of David reminds us of the second part of verse 9, thou preparedest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is what Yahweh does to his people. When he has mercy and compassion upon them, he anoints them with oil. Yahweh adorns his children, the children of Israel. Actually, this is the tribe of Judah at the time. In the southern tribe in Jerusalem, he speaks specifically to the tribe of Judah. And he says, and he adorns his children like a new bride. And this puts to mind the words of the Song of Solomon. When Solomon, in his wisdom, looks on the beauty of the bride, he reminds us of Yahweh's looking upon the beauty of his people, his firstborn. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, and the upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. This is how Yahweh portrays his love for his people. And then he adorns them with garments, as he's spoken of in verses 10 through 12. I clothe thee also with embroidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. I deck thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and beautiful crown upon thine head. So we see Yahweh adorns Israel as a bride is adorned for a wedding. And Yahweh looks and sees the beauty of his people. But we have to remember also that these garments that is spoken of here in verses 10 through 12 are not to be confused with the garments of the high priest. If we look at the root words for ornaments, crowns, and earrings, we'll see a totally different meaning here than what it is in the garments of the high priest. The word ornament in this chapter comes from the root word adai, which means a general outfit or an headstall. Crown comes from the root word Atawa, which is also a crown, while a crown in the Exodus, where we've spoken of the crown for the headdress for the high priest, comes from the word Zair, which is a chaplet. The earrings come from the word Agwel, which means something like a ring or something round. So Israel was decked like royalty. She was the envy of many around her. Verse 16 reminds us, she was exceedingly beautiful and was prosperous. Verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. 13 to 14. But what happens? In the pride and the pomp, Israel returns to the natural thinking of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life overcome Israel, and she plays the harlot. Verse 15. Thou didst trust in thine own body, he says, and playedest an harlot. Because of thy renown, thou pouredest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, as his was it, it was. And in reference to these, we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15, where he speaks of some of these sins that Israel committed against Yahweh. Start at verse 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed in fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. This is it, brothers and sisters. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To God whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up. Whom your fathers feared not. So we see Israel turning back to the idolatry that they came from. It reminds us of the Proverbs. In chapter 26 of verse 11, it says, And as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. This is his pleasure that Yahweh feels with his people. This is how disgusted he was with them. When his called out ones deliberately return to the evil from which they came. The Father knows that we have time. There's times in our lives when our nature will overcome us and we fall into sin nature. It is a part of us. The Apostle Paul elaborates that for us. And that's why Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, came in our form and was tried like us and is now our high priest and mediator. But when we make a conscious decision to follow after the things of the world, then that's how our Heavenly Father sees us. As a bride turneth away from her husband. It is the very conscious thoughts that our actions is looked upon by the Father as such. And this is the reason why, brothers and sisters, we have to avoid letting ourselves be overcome by the things of this life. Verse 17 of the same chapter 16 of Ezekiel. Thou hast taken my fair jewels of my gold, and of my silver which I have given thee, and madest of thyself images of men. Thou hast committed whoredom with them. The dog returning to his vomit. Images of sin nature they made in this 16th chapter of Ezekiel. Images of death, temporal images, and committing whoredom with them. How tragic, how displeasure to Yahweh is this. And in all this, Israel has forgotten where she came from, what her conditions were before. And now she returned to the evil from which she was taken out. Verse 22 elaborates that for us. In all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted with blood. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters. Devoured it of their whoredoms, Yahweh tells them. 2 Kings elaborates this story for us of how they did it. In 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 3. And go on in verse 2. 12 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of Yahweh his Elohim, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abomination of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and all the hills, and under every tree. And we see the king going on and making abominations with the kings around him, with the kings of Assyria. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. And at that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath of Syria to Syria, and drave the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there until this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, "This is Ahaz, the king of Israel, making a deal with the king of Assyria. I am thy servant and thy son." How betrayal of Yahweh is these words. "I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me." And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of Yahweh and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. Can we imagine how Yahweh felt when these things were going on? He was very displeased. And the message for us is that our nature is of such that we forget the good things and the blessings of Yahweh and return to dwell on the negative things of this life for self-pleasure and fleshly satisfaction. How many times in our everyday lives do we not count the blessings of Yahweh, the air we breathe, the land around us, even the rain that falls? How many times do we thank Yahweh for these things? But yet still, how many times do we sit and ponder on the negative things? I don't have a new car. I don't have a big house. I don't have new clothes. But yet still, Yahweh has blessed us in many ways. But we seem to forget those things and we dwell on the negative things of this life. How tragic it is for us when we continue in this mindset. And Israel goes on and she gloats in her evilness and in her folly, as verse 6, 25 and 26 of Ezekiel tells us. And when his wrath is now poured out on Jerusalem, all the enemies of Israel played the harlot with. In verse 28 he says, "Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied." What does that remind us of? Do we see ourselves in this when we read these words? We turn more and more to the world for satisfaction, and yet still we're not satisfied. In verse 32 of this chapter, Yahweh shows his great displeasure and the betrayal he feels when one of his children turn away from him. "But as a wife committed adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband." Imagine, if you will, your spouse, the one you've given your life to take care of and to love, have turned and committed adultery against you. How much hurt would that be to you? This is the hurt that Yahweh felt when Israel turned to the kings of the world and turn to the people of the world and commit adultery with them, commit abominations, worship other gods. This is the betrayal of how Yahweh felt But as a wife committed adultery with naked sinners, strangers, instead of her husband. It's very vivid and cold, brothers and sisters. Very vivid and cold. The ultimate betrayal. And as Jeremiah reminds us, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The flesh rears its ugly head and shows how the heart of man really is. And now in verse 35 to 43, the wrath is come upon them. As he says, "Wherefore, harlot, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, because thy filthiness is poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness." In the customary in those days, if a woman is found to be an adulteress, she was taken before the people and was shown her sin and her nakedness. And after that, she was stoned. After she was judged by the people, she was stoned. This is the wrath that is to come upon the people of Israel. This is what the prophet Ezekiel was telling the people of Jerusalem. That they have committed the same abominations that a woman would commit against her husband. And that his wrath is about to be poured out upon them. As our brother exhorted to us earlier in the morning, remove the diadem, take off the crown. I will overturn it. All the love, all the joy, all the jewels and the royal garments that was given were stripped away, and the enemy saw the nakedness and the abomination of Israel. All that love is gone, all the joy is gone. Why? Because of the turning back of Israel, turning back, feeding on their own vomit, as the Proverbs reminds us. They are delivered into the hands of their enemies, forced to become what they were when they were naked and destitute and shameful and low. She's punished, Jerusalem is punished for evil deeds. She's chastened of Yahweh. But this chastisement is for her to remember her ways and to be ashamed, as verse 61 reminds us. That thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them to thee unto thee for daughters, but not by my covenant. So the reason for the wrath of Yahweh is to show their evilness. It's the same thing that in Thessalonians the Apostle Paul wrote, "If any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man and have no company with him." Why? That he may be ashamed. In chapter 22 of Ezekiel, I was read in our hearing this evening, there's some notes, some very important passages that we should look at, some words there. The word dross spoken of there, as our brother pointed out to us last night, is the impurities in the metal. The metaphor before us is that the heat and fire is necessary, represents a trial and tribulations, which is necessary in our daily walk. As Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8 reminds us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. "Have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastisement of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be not without chastisement, wherefore all ye partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. So it's necessary that the chastisement of Israel come about because of the sins that they have done. We look at metals, as was spoken of in chapter 22, and reminds us of the precious stone, the diamond, most valued material today. Where did the origins of diamond come from? It comes from carbon, which under heat and pressure produces a clear and beautiful stone. One of the hardest stone known to man, and one of the most valuable today. So we, being sons and daughters of Yahweh, will have to heat and pressures of trials, will be seen by our Father as precious and desirable living stones. Our brother last year at High, our brother David last year at High brought out these words, living stones. So we use the same analogy with the metals here. Silver, iron, lead, and tin. Metals used back then were very important and very meaningful in their everyday life. Even today, these metals are part of everyday life. Silver, we know, is used to make jewelry and is also used in the medical field. Iron, one of the main elements of our infrastructure in most of the countries of this world. Tin and lead, used to make solder and alloy, very important in electrical and electronics, for it is the solder that creates an electrical bond for all electrical and electronic devices, without which all these devices would not be around us, our computers, our pianos, our light. But what does this have to do with our spiritual lives? If we're not pure in heart, if we don't seek the truth, we will become like metals with dross, fit to be thrown away if the heat of trials and tribulation does not put our minds and our hearts towards our Heavenly Father and towards His laws. We cannot be called out ones if we're not pure in heart and full of humbleness and meekness and have a godly character. We become useless. We become as useless pieces of metal, infected with so much dross that is no more use for us but to be thrown away. And we see the parallel. And we see how important it is for us to remember these words. But then Yahweh, in His loving kindness and long suffering, revealed Himself when He says, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. He remembers that we are but flesh. And there we see our mistakes. When we see our mistakes and we return to Yahweh for forgiveness, He pities us. And as He brings to us in mind in the 60th and 63rd verses of the chapter 12 of Ezekiel. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant, when thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not my covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, that thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith Adonai Yahweh. So he remembers his covenant. They returned to Yahweh in shame and in disgust. And he remembers his covenant with them. We know of this covenant, brothers and sisters. We know of what it entails. This covenant is the reason why we're here today, why we gather together every first day of the week While we come for many miles to study and meditate upon his word. Because we want to be a part of that everlasting covenant. Each and every one of us in here. The covenant that we want to be a part of is the one that will be fully reveal itself when our high priest and mediator, Jesus the Christ, returns to fulfill the promises made unto the forefathers. When we can hear those words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." And as he goes on, "I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Jerusalem, and I will bring them again and place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am Yahweh their Elohim, and will hear them." What wonderful words. What comforting words from our loving, from the loving kindness of our Father. Brothers and sisters, Ezekiel chapter 16, when I read it, it came across to me as very vivid and very colorful and very harsh. But we have to understand that this is how Yahweh felt about the abominations of Israel, turning to strange gods, making deals with the kings of the world who know not the truth. It's a lesson for us, brothers and sisters, that we do not follow in these steps, that we do not turn to the abominations of this world and turn to the sins of this world, that we ever strive to continue on in the work of the truth. We strive in our study and meditation upon Yahweh's word each and every day. And we should, with joy, pursue the everlasting covenant, comforting and edifying each other as the days draw closer to our Master's return. The words of Ezekiel today, may it be in our hearts and minds as we watch with all diligence for the return of Christ, who will establish this everlasting covenant spoken of in verse 60. The covenant that was spoken of between the Father and Abraham's seed, according to the promise.